Do the open borders in our nation in any way undermine the Constitution? Well, what a leading question. Here's how our governing document begins. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States, end quote. Are some of those being hamstrung today, some of those, you know, lofty goals, being hamstrung as hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants stream into the country without being processed? Listen to this quote. It only took 19 terrorists to kill thousands of Americans on 9/11. That quote comes from Dr. Shay Bradley Farrell, who is in charge of the Counterpoint Institute, counterpointinstitute.org. She is the author of the book Last Warning to the West, Hungary's Triumph Over Communism and the Woke Agenda. This book has now been featured on C-SPAN Book TV Radio and C-SPAN's Washington Journal. She recently penned an opinion article on this subject in the Washington Examiner entitled Biden Fiddles While China Invades. And we will link to her article. She now joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Shay Bradley Farrell, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, what an honor to be with you, Dr. Newcomb. Thank you so much.
Sure. You know, when you listen to the words of the Constitution, theoretically, that's what we should be governed by. When the politicians get sworn in, they swear to uphold the Constitution. And it's like, wow, how far we have fallen as a nation these days.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And if you listen to the words of our Constitution, you listen to the words of our First Amendment, you see that the people secure liberty, freedom to themselves. It is the people that establish that Constitution and establish our government. It's not the other way around. And we are seeing with the Biden administration very much this what truly is a Marxist approach to government. It's a top-down government decision-making process that tries to control the people without giving people the First Amendment liberties that they have, the religious freedom liberties, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. And we are really seeing that right now. And that's why I wrote that book, Last Warning to the West.
And a lot of it really has to do with Hungary and how Hungary changed things around and how they're rejecting woke policies. Why don't you wax eloquent? Tell us about Hungary and its current government.
Well, the reason I wrote this book for Americans, I didn't start out that way. It was going to be translated into Hungarian. It still is. But I decided to write it first and foremost for Americans because Hungarians were telling me while I was doing my research over in Budapest and in the surrounding areas, they kept telling me that the rhetoric coming out of the United States reminded them of their Soviet era. They were occupied by the Soviet Union for 46 years until 1991. They've lived through communism. And when I walked back, I mean, you know, that was like a gut punch. Let me tell you that at first, because I heard that over and over again. And that's a hard thing to hear about your country that you grew up in and you love. But I walked back what they were talking about. And you go back to the Bolshevik Revolution and the Marxism coming out of it. You know, even then, they were heralding abortion as health care back in the 1920s, coming out of Soviet Russia. They were trying to diminish parental rights. We certainly see that today, especially with the transgender activism going on. You know, there are so many parallels. So the progressivism that we're seeing today, the Hungarians were looking at as actually Marxism, communism roots. And, you know, I'll pause after this, but I put 11 points, the 11 points of communist psychological warfare in that book. And I got these points from a lesson that our Department of Defense had published in 1959 as a, you know, way for security professionals to recognize communism. And look at, if you look at those points, and we can talk about a couple if you'd like, every one of those points applies to us today in America, especially under the Biden administration.
Or I'll tell you what, I'll have you summarize those points and maybe you can highlight in detail as much as we can, maybe three of them or so. But when did Hungary change? You say, okay, the Soviet Union, the Eastern Europe, their hold on Hungary, that collapsed in 1991. Who is Orban and when did he come in charge and how did Hungary change to become more freedom loving lately?
Well, I would tell you honestly, I put 1,000 years of history in this book. It's hard to condense 1,000 years into a few chapters. But Hungary has always been a freedom-loving country. They actually became a Christian nation 1,000 years ago. They became a westernized nation, a part of the West, and a Christian nation. And even through the Ottoman Turks coming in.
Wait, real fast, if I could interrupt you. Just, were they Christian in, say, more of the Roman Catholic tradition or say, more of the Eastern Orthodox tradition? I mean, I just wanted to know.
That's actually an excellent question, and I do explain that in the book, because the king at the time, King István, who has been sainted since then, he decided that he wanted Hungary to be Christian and to be a part of the Western part of the empire. So they became the easternmost Western nation of the Roman Empire at that time. So they were not part of the Byzantine Empire. They made that split very deliberately. And even over the course of occupation by the Ottoman Turks, you know, centuries later, and they remained in and out for a few centuries, Hungary did not take on Islam. They would not do it. The Habsburgs came in and occupied Hungary. They still clung to their own culture, their own religion, their own language. That's another interesting thing. You know, nobody.
So wait, when you say they would not take on Islam, you don't mean that they wouldn't oppose Islam. They wouldn't convert to Islam. Is that what do you actually mean by that?
Well, they were occupied by the Ottoman Turks. So I don't think they even really had the option to oppose anything, but they did not take it on as their religion. They kept their Christian faith. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. This is fascinating. Okay, so Orban. So bring us to the recent decades. Who is this guy? How long has he been in charge? And the West hates him, apparently, because he's so politically incorrect.
Yes, that's very true. It's conservatives love him for it, and the Biden administration and the European Union hate him for it. But he was actually part of pushing the Soviet Union out of Hungary, a freedom fighter, if you will. He was one of the co-founders of the Fidesz party, which is the party that is in control of Hungary right now. He has won the year before, his fourth consecutive victory as prime minister, and this past one was a landslide victory. But he was part in 1991 of pushing the Soviet Union out. He was very strong against them, and in rebuilding the country, getting the country out of the debt that the communism had put them in, establishing a new constitution that is based on freedom and democracy. You know, they have a parliamentary system based on the constitution. And I guess that's where it started. What else did you ask me?
He's also opposed to open borders, right? I mean, in fact, yeah. Hungary has received a lot of flack from other countries. Oh, you're not, you know, opening your borders to all these, you know, humanitarian, you know, crises. Yeah. And he's keeping Hungary secure in that sense.
Yeah, that's right. There are three main reasons that the Biden administration and the EU, the woke globalists, I guess, do not like him. And one of them has to do with he will not allow illegal immigration into his country. They tried to do that during the Arab Spring and comply with what the EU wanted them to do. And it was crushing their systems. I could go into that in detail if you'd like. But in response to that, what they ended up doing is declaring a national emergency, having to put up fences and establish policies to keep people out. Now, they can certainly apply for citizenship and they can apply for asylum in Hungary. You're just kept out until, if you cannot illegally cross into Hungary, which is, common sense. And I wish that President Joe Biden would do that here. It makes no sense that people can come in here illegally under his watch. And he ordains that, I guess is the word. But it is illegal immigration that they do not want. The other issues that they are pushed back, I guess. Actually, they have been sanctioned by the European Union for all three of these. Illegal immigration. The other one is that they will not tolerate radical gender theory being taught to their children in the schools. They have actually put in their legislation that they already had that was child protection legislation. They've added to it that you cannot teach children in schools. Now, this was a result of the EU trying to put transgender type curriculum in schools throughout the European Union. So because of this, they have been called anti-LGBT. They've been called haters, et cetera, et cetera. But they actually did a referendum of the people, and the people overwhelmingly, like 90%, said, no, we don't want this. We want to decide what is taught to our children. And the third issue is the Russian-Ukraine war.
Okay, where do they stand on that?
Well, they share a boundary with Ukraine, right? They share a border, excuse me. And I've actually been in the Ukrainian Refugee Center in Hungary. And their stance from the beginning is that peace negotiations should be made. They did not see, because of history, that Ukraine could actually win the war. So while they have taken in, last time I looked, it was like over 3.5 million refugees. And in the center where I've been, there were lines for airplane tickets, for bus tickets, for train tickets. There was medical services. There were vet services. There were nonprofit organizations, faith organizations there taking care of children. There were beds. They've tried to help in a humanitarian way, but they said that they would not send weapons and that they did not want to support weapons with their money. And because of that, they have been very much, billions of dollars worth sanctioned by the European Union, a part of which was COVID funds for underprivileged children and this kind of thing. So they've had a hard time standing up for what they believe.
But you think at the end of the day, it's all worth it. We have only a minute left. It might not be bad if you would be willing, on some future date in the near future, we could talk with you about those 11 points that our own military came up with in 1959 to warn against encroaching communism. I think that would be very enlightening. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be a great idea.
Well, why don't you go ahead and we have 50 seconds. Give us a closing thought just to kind of whet our appetite to that why should we even care about communism?
Well, because it is really summed up in control. If you want to be controlled by your government, if you want your freedoms to be taken away, then you keep adhering to Marxism and you don't learn how to recognize it. That's why I wrote the book, so that Americans could start recognizing the fact that they're being fed propaganda from social media and media that the government is controlling in many ways. There's a legal suit right now going on between the Biden administration and Louisiana and Missouri over that. And last thing, COVID, that's one of the psychological warfare points, using a crisis to gain control. And that's what our government tried to do during COVID.
Okay, Dr. Shay Bradley Farrell, thanks so much for being with us. CounterpointInstitute.org for more information. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, sir.